I appreciated Kevin's opening this morning, seek ye first the kingdom, and that had an anointing that registered with my heart this morning, very particularly because my week has not been a regular week or my last 2 weeks, because in my little sphere of work, pretty much everything that could go wrong went wrong. And one of the things that went wrong was we lost all our computers, not only the server computers, but also that operates machinery. And so I ended up spending vast amount of time studying the most boring stuff on earth to me, which is how computers work and talk to each other. It used to have a fascination, but it's about as dead as chewing brickwork off the side of this building to me at this point in my life. And having very little time, I opened the Word and was looking at the disciples. And that was, my mind didn't have enough space to compute anything else. It was dry, and it had, I think there's life there to be had, but there wasn't this week life to be had out of that. And so I was concerned. Having said that, the Lord steered me back to something I was studying a little bit earlier, and this morning breathed fresh life into that very much for me. It came alive, I guess, that I was more interested in his disciples than he was. He was more interested in resurrection life. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, and the importance. And I want to revisit, I think it was Easter morning, I opened with a little bit looking at Jesus after the resurrection. And what I have been looking at is the questions that Jesus asked. Now, let me just revisit what I said just so we're all on the same page. About the Lord Jesus here. Let me just pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for an open heaven this morning. Amen. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gathering of your people. And we thank you for your kingdom. And we pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just like in heaven. Lord, we ask you, give us grace this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my statements I made about questions is the words from the song, questions tell us more than answers ever do. And if we look at the record of what Jesus spoke after the resurrection, he had a lot of questions. I would have loved if he'd recorded the sermon on the Emmaus Road for me. I think that would have been tremendous. He didn't do that. I mean, he had all sorts of opportunities, but he didn't do that. There's plenty, and so as I have looked at this and looked at the questions the Lord Jesus asked, I don't know what you think. My natural thought would be that the Lord Jesus would come out of the grave and say, "Hi, y'all, I'm here," and go proclaim himself to everybody. That didn't happen to either. He revealed himself to 500 at once, it tells us, but to, and then he arrived incognito. Why do that? It's kind of this, why go there? He's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords. He has the victory. And I say this. I have looked at really five revelations of the Lord Jesus. He is a man on earth, the Son of Man, the resurrected Lord Jesus, the risen and ascended Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, the ascended Lord Jesus, and the glorified Lord Jesus. I want to look at the risen Lord Jesus this morning. And I want to paint it this way. Back when I was a small child, young man, maybe teenage years, there was a program on English television called Tomorrow's World. And it was all about what was happening in the world and where the world was going. It was very exciting. It had wonderful things on it. I want to take that phrase, Tomorrow's World, and paint it like this. Are we seeing tomorrow's world through yesterday's eyes? How are you looking at the Lord Jesus this morning? Are you looking at him as the man who walked the earth, who taught wonderful teachings that he left behind for us in written form that we enjoy and greatly affect our lives today? Do we go as far as the cross and see the crucified Lord Jesus? Now, let me present this to you. The dilemma the followers of the Lord Jesus had was simply this. They were looking after the cross, after the resurrection. They were looking at tomorrow's world with yesterday's eyes. And that is part of the dilemma we see. Why I expect the Lord Jesus to come in glory, you know, and as the Jews expected, he was expecting him to roll out the Roman Empire and start their own people up and reinstate the kingdom of David for the Jews. All expectation, tomorrow's world with yesterday's eyes. And so the Apostle Paul says words to these effect. If Christ has not risen, we are of all men most to be pitied. If you are looking at tomorrow's world with yesterday's eyes, you're to be pitied, because there is a risen and ascended and glorified Lord Jesus. And I want to look at the risen Lord Jesus. And I simply want to look at the questions he asked. Because every question, I believe, has related to it a problem with the way they were seeing things. Now, there are 10 questions asked all in all, 9 of them by the Lord Jesus, 1 of them asked by the angels, but most certainly a question that God the Father was asking. And that question, that first one, as I shared earlier, was, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Is that yesterday's eyes? You know, here we are. It's the resurrection morning. The Lord Jesus has risen. And essentially, as I shared, the problem is they were looking for a dead Lord Jesus. Why do you seek the living among the dead? And this was to the women at the tomb when they were first there. Then the next question was a question to Mary Magdalene. The disciples, the women left the tomb, and she, Peter and John went down there with Mary Magdalene. They ran back to the tomb. If we want to follow me, I'm looking in John. In chapter 20, and there are two questions here. They have gone into the tomb, and Peter and John, they ran there, and John stopped at the entrance, and Peter went in. But the Lord revealed himself, not to them, but to Mary. And what he says here, "Woman, why are you weeping?" is the first question. Why is Mary weeping here? She's looking for her Lord, isn't she? And she is looking with yesterday's eyes. There is the Lord Jesus standing right behind her, asking the question. But she couldn't see him. She was so upset. She'd seen him crucified. They had watched as the body had been put away. She knew the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. She knew him as the crucified Lord. But she had not yet engaged him as the living Lord Jesus. So she's weeping because she's expecting something different. The problem is, she's thinking that the Lord Jesus is dead. She's weeping. Who are you seeking? Has the Lord ever asked that? Who are you seeking? Who seekest thou? What's the problem here? It tells us right in Scripture. She thought she was talking to the gardener. That's a pretty big problem, isn't it? Here we have the living Lord Jesus standing behind you, and you're weeping. This is the biggest transubstantiation of thought that any group of people had to go through that you could imagine. Because everything that they had known had told them that things had not gone well. That's the reality of life. The Lord Jesus had told them about his death and his resurrection. But in true human form, that was probably a very unpleasant thought, so nobody wanted to think of it. So they kind of brushed that off. So they didn't want to think that. But here we have Mary Magdalene, seeking the Lord Jesus, and he's standing behind her. All he has to do is say her name, and she recognizes him. Has the Lord ever said your name? Have you heard his voice speaking to you? I'm not talking about reading the scripture. I'm talking about that inner witness in the heart where he speaks and he quickens to us, quickens us. Are we listening for his Rhema word today? He will speak through the scripture to us. There is a witness in our heart which he uses. He speaks to us. So, are we talking to the risen Lord Jesus like his dead? Is that our prayer life? Or are we coming to the risen, ascended, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, the one whose name is above every name, at his name every knee shall bow, who has all power and all authority? Do we see the Lord? I think we see the Lord. If our eyes are open, we see the Lord. We have miracles walking around us. We have them happening around us. Are we seeing the Lord Jesus in these things? It's very important to see the Lord. The life in the Spirit. Let's go to the Emmaus Road for a little bit. Now, exactly who these two people were, we know one of them was named Cleopas. Who the other one was, we're not quite sure. There's various things. Something I read said that some of the fathers believe that one of these people was maybe a brother to Jesus's father, Joseph, but that is tradition. Who knows? Anyway, we have these men, and they are walking away from Jerusalem down the Emmaus Road. And they're into it. They've left the gathering. And as they're walking down this road, they're talking to one another. And I can't help but imagine this is a fairly in-depth, very intense conversation that they're having as they're walking down the road. Because they are in tomorrow's world. They don't realize it. They are dealing with the fallout, so to speak, of the cross. And then, what's more, they've seen that, and then some of the women have come and they've suggested that Jesus is alive, you know, or he's not there, and, you know, this is fairly confusing for them, very confusing, and they are having a discussion about this. And they are together, they're walking. Who knows? I don't know whether, you know, when I met Judy, I had a wonderful friend I was traveling with, and we could get into all sorts of things. We could have debates that last for days, sometimes weeks, and they were settled various ways. But we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. I think Judy thought it was somewhat abusive some of the time, and maybe it was, but we had some very... as I see these two walking down the road, there they are, they've seen Jerusalem, and then, now, this stranger walks up and joins them. And they're obviously, two's good and three's better, you know, and they incorporate him in, and they're walking down the road. What's the first problem here? Yeah, there they are. Jesus is there, and they can't see him. They can't recognize him. Do we walk our Christian lives with the Lord Jesus not recognizing him? Have we got beyond the cross and even acknowledged the resurrection? And we have Jesus walking beside us, and we're still discussing his death and the possibility of his resurrection. You know, where Paul says, if Jesus Christ was not raised, we are of all men most to be pitied. Why is that? Let me suggest is because we realize the problem, but we don't have a fix. It is unfixable. That's why it would be most pitied to know the problem. It would be better not to know the problem than to know the problem and not to know the answer. And beyond that, to be walking with the Lord Jesus and not recognizing who was with you, to whom you were speaking. So the Lord Jesus, now, he joins. These questions are very interesting. What kind of conversation is this? Why are you sad? And he asked them, what things? You know, what's all this about? Now, just look at the picture here. Here's the Lord Jesus. He's been betrayed by his inner circle. He's been accused by Satan through Thomas. He's been handed over by the religious sect, the Jews that are meant to be his people, to the Romans. He's been swapped off for Barabbas, who the Romans would have preferred to have, who the Jews would have preferred to have. The Romans would have preferred to release, but the Jews preferred to have Barabbas. He was mocked. He had a crown of thorns pressed on his head. He was beaten beyond recognition. He was taken up a hill. He was hung on a cross. And he was forsaken by God the Father. If you had been through all this, would you be asking, why are you so sad? It seems like they should be, you know, out of all this, this is the Lord Jesus. Yet it didn't end in death. He is the resurrected Lord Jesus. He is the living, resurrected Lord. Not thinking of himself, but very concerned in what these men are talking. There's another question here. You know, they tell him in 24, the passage through 24, and they explain what has gone on. And he begins to explain to them, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? You see, they weren't anticipating the suffering. They'd heard about it. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? That was their question. The problem was that in their picture, they had not seen the redemption of the Lord Jesus. They had not understood that. They were living in the good of it. They were walking with the Lord Jesus himself. They were the resurrection side of the cross. But the only thing was wrong was the eyes of their heart had not been open. They couldn't see who they were with. Do we see who we're with? Do we realize that we're walking with the Lord Jesus? And interestingly enough, he's recognized by them when he breaks the bread. All of a sudden, may I say this, if you look at the table which we share each week, may I picture it like this? You don't have to see this if it doesn't suit, but the bread is the end of the crucified. The new wine, the end of the old covenant. The wine is the beginning of the new covenant, the covenant in his blood. So they recognize him in the breaking of bread. All of a sudden, it dawns on them who has been walking down the road with them. And all of a sudden, they become today's disciples in tomorrow's world, not in yesterday's world anymore. And so they take off. They take off back up to Jerusalem, and they spread the word, don't they? And in Luke 24 and verse 36. Well, let's go back. So they raised up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them by the breaking of bread. And as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. We have some resurrection brothers sharing with those who are still in yesterday's world, don't we? And so there is fear. They presume that they have seen a ghost, a spirit. And the Lord Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled?" Why are they troubled here? Now, I can think of a number of reasons that they could have been very troubled here. In the natural, just before they had celebrated the Passover, they were having the usual "who's the greatest" conversation before the Lord showed up. Now, that would have been kind of embarrassing. And it surely was. Every time Jesus showed up and they were having that conversation, it was embarrassing. They didn't like, you know. But more than that, the last time they'd seen him, he was being crucified. And a few minutes before that, or a few days before that, they had all deserted him and run away. Now, I wonder if you're living in yesterday's world and you meet the risen Lord Jesus, the man of tomorrow, the man of today, I should say. Here we have the Lord Jesus and his risen, and he shows up in their midst, you know? It's not surprising they felt a bit like the ground had fallen out from underneath their feet. And I think one of the problems was this. Well, maybe the main key to the problem here was they did not recognize the risen Lord Jesus. They couldn't. Now, they're seeing him with their eyes. But they're not seeing him on the grounds of the finished work. They can see him. They haven't got faith in their heart. They are not standing on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, the Lord speaks to them, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? Isn't this what it was all about anyway? Isn't this what he had taught, that he must suffer and die and the atonement? But they're looking with yesterday's eyes at the picture. They can't see the atonement. They can't see that finished work. If I was to tie this back in with what Lex was speaking the other day, let's go to Hebrews 11. Sorry, Hebrews 9:11. Where it says of our Lord Jesus, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. Here he is, the high priest of the good things to come, standing in their midst. With the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Let me start again. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with the hands, that is, not of this creation. Here he is Lord of all. He is of a different creation now. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having attained eternal redemption. These men, they have been redeemed. It didn't matter that they'd argued who was the greatest, that they'd expected to look for the wrong kingdom with earthly eyes. It didn't matter that they'd all run away. They had been redeemed by the blood. And the Lord Jesus appears to them as their redeemer. Do we know the Lord Jesus is our redeemer? The one whose blood has paid the price, who has entered the Holy of Holies once for all with his own blood. Do we see him that way? Then I want to look. There's just one last question. And it appears in Luke 24. And 41. Where the Lord Jesus simply says, have you got any food? Now this will be a good moment to end for a covered dish. However, why does he, okay, we have been talking about eternal things of redemption, we've seen the Lord of all, and don't tell me he was hungry. He's wanting something to eat. Well, this is what I think it is. He wanted them to know he was in a different form. But this is the resurrection Lord. He takes the fish and eats it. This is the tangibility of the risen Lord Jesus. That question also comes up in John. Same question. I mean, he asks it again. John 21 and 17. And this time, it's to Simon. Verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, of course, they're out on Lake Gennesaret fishing. And the Lord Jesus says, children, have you any food? No? As the story goes, they had been fishing and not caught anything. And but the Lord has food prepared for them. In 21:12, Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. He had provided food for them. I think with Peter, it is interesting. I don't know that it directly, well, it does, I think, say that Peter instigated the fishing trip. Maybe that was a little bit of tomorrow's world in yesterday's eyes. Maybe there was a work for the Lord to do here in Peter's life. That restoration that needed to take. Peter needed to believe. Peter had walked, he'd done various things, hadn't he? He'd been very much the forefront of, for good and bad, he'd been in the forefront with the disciples. But here, the Lord very closely comes to him. You know, I wonder when this was all taking place, what he was thinking. You know, they'd gone fishing to feed themselves, but that was not the commission in tomorrow's world that he had for Peter. The commission was, go feed my sheep. And there seemed to be a bridge here between the Christ he knew on earth, Christ as the Son of Man, and Christ the risen Lord Jesus, who had provided redemption for Peter. Because it was paid in full, wasn't it? And Peter then is, the issue is put right in Peter's heart. So that in a few days, he can be willing and available on the day of Pentecost. That he knows and recognizes the Holy Spirit and preaches with power the word of the Lord. And without that, without knowing the risen Lord Jesus, that could not ever have taken place. Of course, in those next few weeks, the Lord becomes not only the risen, but the ascended Lord. And he sends the Holy Spirit to them. And at Pentecost, we go from seeing, before that, between the cross and Pentecost, we see the risen Lord Jesus. But after that, there is a glorified Lord sitting on the throne whose Holy Spirit is alive and active in the church. And may his Holy Spirit be alive and active in our midst. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the open heaven, that you are living and active. Your word is in our hearts, and Lord, your Holy Spirit is amongst us. We pray that you will quicken our hearts in the things of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.